You're listening to Terrence McNally.
Terrence McNally.
Filling in on the Ron Reagan Show.
Hello and Merry Christmas Eve to all of you. Happy holidays, whatever your holiday may be. And if you're listening to the radio, then maybe you're driving, maybe you're still at work, maybe you're wrapping presents or preparing a dinner. I just thank you for the opportunity to share a few minutes of this wonderful day, this snowy and rainy day in some cities, with you. I am usually heard on a KPFK, the Pacifica station in L.A., and you can hear podcasts and things at terrymcnally.net. My next guest, let me set this up for you. With economic and communications globalization, some form of a global civilization is beginning to emerge. But just as we're confronting the challenges of global warming and peak oil, the likelihood of growing hunger and resource wars, our diverse cultures are being crushed together. One response is a retreat into fundamentalism, often religious, often hostile. So we're at a point where what's happening to us really calls for some new thinking. My next guest, Stuart Kaufman, says that's why he wrote his book, Reinventing the Sacred. Rooted in hard science, the book and its author aims for nothing less than a revolution in how we see the world, how we see reality, how we see God, and how we see our role in it. And Stuart Kaufman is the director of the Institute for Biocomplexity and Informatics at the University of Calgary. He's a MacArthur Fellow, you know, those genius awards. He's an external professor at the Santa Fe Institute, so he is a serious scientist. His other books were clearly scientific: The Origins of Order, At Home in the Universe, The Search for the Laws of Self-Organization. But his newest, Reinventing the Sacred, A New View of Science, Reason, and Religion, has excited me because I'm really looking for some new ways to look at all this that actually resonate and make sense of things going forward. Stuart Kaufman, welcome to Air America on Christmas Eve.
Thank you very much, Terrence.
As I was saying, introducing you, Stuart, you're a serious scientist, and something has led you to write a book called Reinventing the Sacred. What was that?
Several things. As you said in your introduction, Terrence, a global civilization of some form really is emerging and will emerge almost certainly sometime in the next century. We really are being driven by global commerce and the internet into close proximity. We're retreating into the fundamentalisms you mentioned. Children are strapping bombs to their waist and killing people. In the United States, Left Behind has a video program for children teaching them to kill those that they cannot convert to the rapture. So this retreat into fundamentalisms is fearful. And I think that we need to try to find some new overarching sense of the sacred that we can share across traditions that are in some cases 5,000 years old, like Hinduism and Judaism, which is, say, 4,900 years old, let alone the other Abrahamic religions. We must find a shareable sense of the sacred.
Okay, let me, if I can, since we're trying to boil what is a lot of thinking and a lot of insights into a very short period of time, let me sort of lay out what I see you saying, and then you can correct and expand on that. You, as a scientist, looking at biology, looking at natural selection in action, came to a realization that that the Enlightenment, Galileo and the Enlightenment had basically said that everything could be explained by natural law, and that people basically, scientists and others, have kind of, if they diverted from that, it was probably in some radical way, but basically the mainstream of people kind of went along with that. And what you said was when you looked at things, you saw that there was a lot going on that couldn't be explained by natural law or predicted by natural law. And that then creates a big question. What I heard you saying was that agency, the fact that life makes choices, life acts, whether it's a microbe or a human being or a society and an economy, and that changes things. And that once you cannot be predicted by natural law, and on the other hand, does that mean we're in some sort of random chaos? You're saying no, that actually life and this what I refer to as agency, this ability to choose and to act, is actually who we are, and that we do this acting and this choosing in an act of ceaseless creativity in response to the circumstances thrown at us. And that ceaseless creativity, you say, could very well be a definition of God.
That's right, Terrence. And what we're talking about, first of all, it's scientifically utterly radical. We've been taught since Descartes, Galileo, Newton, magnificent scientists and scholars, down to Einstein and Schrodinger, that everything that happens in the universe is describable by natural law. Yet, if you think about the evolution of the biosphere through, and I won't go into the details, Darwinian pre-adaptations, for example, your middle ear bones evolved from the jaw bones of some early fish. Well, nobody could even pre-state the possibility of hearing coming to exist in the biosphere. Not only could you not pre-state it, if you couldn't pre-state it, you didn't know what the possibilities were. So you couldn't even make a probability statement. Like if you flipped a coin 10,000 times, it would come up heads or tails about 5,000 times. But you knew ahead of time what all the possibilities were. We do not know what the possibilities are for the evolution of the biosphere. We do not know what the possibilities are ahead of time for the evolution of our technology. Nobody foresaw the Internet when the computer was invented, and as I love to say, with no malice towards Facebook, it is the height of Western civilization.
Right.
but nobody foresaw Facebook or eBay when the computer was invented. So we live it in our biological becoming stunningly creative biosphere, in the becoming of our economy and the becoming of our culture. We cannot say ahead of time what the possibilities are, so we can't make probability statements, so we can't make predictions, so we can't have a law about that which we can't even pre-state. And that means, and this flies in the face of 350 years of Western science, it seems to mean that the becoming of the biosphere on up to culture is ceaselessly, wondrously creative. And it becomes our choice whether or not we want to say of this ceaseless creativity that it's a sense we can have of God. But before I get to that, let me point out that the way the biosphere becomes, the way the economy becomes, cannot be described beforehand, but it's not random. Facebook makes sense given what's around now, and nobody is making Roman siege engines anymore. And the same thing is true in the evolution of the biosphere. So it's both not random, but also not describable by law. It's something much more wonderful. It's ceaselessly creative. Now, if you feel yourself as a member of a ceaselessly creative universe, the ceaseless creativity in the universe, then you realize that we are living our lives forward into what theologian at Harvard, Gordon Kaufman, calls mystery. At Gordon's point, he's no relative, but a friend now, Gordon's point is that we do live forward into mystery. But that in turn means, Terrence, that reason, the highest human virtue of the Enlightenment, is an insufficient guide to living our life. We really often don't know.
Right.
We don't know. We really don't know. And that means we need courage and faith to live our lives forward. And it means that we can choose the following. We can think of a creator God and the creativity of that God. And with Gordon Kaufman, I want to say, you know, we don't need the creator God anymore. We need the creativity. But it's abundant all around us. And so, you see, we've evolved our sense of God in the Abrahamic traditions over the last 4,900 years since Abraham, from a God who was a warrior, law-giving, loving God, Yahweh, to the God that Jesus spoke of, a God of love. We can evolve our sense of God again to mean the fully natural creativity in the universe. I mean, what's more awesome, that a God would have created everything that exists in 6 days, or that without anybody in charge of it, everything around you, the butterfly, the lichen, the biosphere, with its teeming diversity, our culture, our economic system, have all come to exist with nobody in charge. All of this magnificent becoming. So that I think that we're invited to evolve our sense of God to mean the fully natural creativity in the universe. And I think that out of that we can get, first, a shared sense of the sacred that spans across the globe without giving up our religious traditions. I would never ask someone who believes in the Abrahamic God to change his or her belief, but we can have a shareable sense of the sacred.
And that's what's important, is that we're living in a time where truths seem to be truths and tradition seems to be in opposition. And what you're saying is that for this global civilization where these different holders of these traditions and these perspectives are in a way rubbing up against each other more than they ever have before, we need to find a sense of the sacred that can be shared rather than in opposition.
Absolutely. And from it, you see, I think that we need to globally converge over the next 50 years on some kind of global ethic that can help guide the creation of the global civilization that will emerge. We are so radically commoditized in the first world now. How strange we would look to medieval Europe. Not that I'm touting off medieval Europe. There were serfs living in misery. But there are different value systems, and we forget it, living in the midst of our own. So we're commoditized. We are living in a throwaway society. We must invent a global ethic to create a sustainable economy that provides meaningful work that is nevertheless not going to lead us to Jared Diamond's collapse and destroy the planet. And as Diamond says, what did the person who cut down the last tree on Easter Island think?
Yep. So
we're doing it. We must reorder our value systems. We must find we're invited to find in the creativity around us something that is awesome and worthy of profound respect.
And what you say is that if you can observe science and observe life and the unfolding of life without the predispositions or the past filters and just kind of look at it, that in fact that ceaseless creativity that is our experience at all times can perhaps allow us to feel, one, that is the God, two, that we are participating in the work of God when we are creative, and that we are participating with all others who are also participating in the ceaseless creativity of God. I know one thing that I'm going to have to let you go, Stuart, but one thing that I often say to people is, if you wake up in the morning and you look outside, or you look into the face of a child, or you look into the face of even your pet, you will realize that reality is alive. It is not some dead thing that has stopped. Reality is alive, and it is ceaselessly being created, and you are one of its creators. Stuart, I got to let you go. I'm Terry McNally, sitting in for Ron Reagan on Air America. We'll be back for the last segment. The phone number to call in is 866-303-2270.
This is the Ron Reagan Show
with guest host Terrence McNally.